So today's reading is from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone. And, well, happy Christmas. Have you noticed how that phrase, happy Christmas, is just a little bit more awkward to use this year? Normally, every other year, it just trips off the tongue. This year, there is sometimes a moment of hesitancy before you use it. A recognition that this isn't the happiest of Christmases. I've been writing some Christmas cards this week, a little bit late, but I have felt the need very often to qualify that phrase, happy Christmas, under the circumstances. Happy Christmas during these strange days. And normally, especially if I know that someone has been really busy in the run-up to Christmas, I wish them a peaceful new year. That feels entirely inappropriate to say this year. We don't want peace. We want a party. Even the introverts are longing for one. There was a funny article in the newspapers this weekend where the author, a self-confessed introvert, said the only thing worse than drinking mulled wine with your neighbors at Christmas is having to drink mulled wine without them. This isn't the happiest Christmas. This isn't the happy Christmas we were hoping for or planning for. Some of you, even many of you, are on your own at home watching this, or you've come here on your own and you're going home to be on your own. Normally I start my Christmas sermons with a joke. I only have 6 Christmas jokes. I cycle them, and at the end of 6 years, I either have to move to a different church or hope I have a forgetful or a forgiving congregation. This year, I couldn't find a joke that matched the mood, so I've given myself and you an extra year. So happy Christmas. And I sincerely hope that there are moments of happiness, of love and joy in presents and phone calls and contact of whatever sort with those you love. But there's no denying that these are dark and difficult days. Which is why I want to speak briefly about light in the darkness. Our reading said, in him, in Jesus Christ, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Those living at the time of the first Christmas were living in dark and difficult days, oppression, obscurity, poverty, a Roman census, no room at the inn, shepherds huddled together at night. The prophet Isaiah had said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." Christmas is when we celebrate the arrival of light in our darkness, and there is no greater light for this world than the light of Christmas, the light of Christ. And we see that, or we need to see that more clearly perhaps than any Christmas before in our lifetimes. And in this light, the light of Christmas, the light of Christ, there are two things that I want to say. Firstly, in the light of Christmas and of Christ, we see God. We see God. As we look ahead to 2021, and as we get ready to put 2020 behind us, is there light at the end of the tunnel? We hope so. We pray that would be the case. We don't fully know. I always remember a very tired vicar some years ago saying to me, "The light at the end of the tunnel often turns out to be someone with a torch bringing me more work to do." The light of Christmas is not light in the distance. It is light in the darkness. Light in our present darkness. The Bible says that God is love and God is light, and He is present in our darkness, shining His light, giving us hope. God with us. He was born then, Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us, and He is with us now. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There are lots of things, lots of good things, that we normally use to bring light to our lives. And in 2020, many of them have been taken away. I heard of a person, not a believer, thought there was nothing beyond this life, who said this: "I picture my life as like living in a dark room with a box of matches, and I light each match, and that gives me a sense of light and of life, things to enjoy." And he said, "All along, I'm conscious that the matches are running out." And what's happened to all of us this year, since back at the end of March, is that many of the things, the matches that we use to give light and life to our lives, have been taken away, dragged away. Holidays and hugs, socializing, shopping, contact, Christmas. Today, we celebrate. We hold on to the truth that while so many things are gone, have been taken away, God has not gone. We see Him in the light that came into the world at Christmas. Jesus Christ, the image of God, God with us. He drew close then, he draws close now, present, shining, not in the distance, but in our darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's the first thing. In the light of Christmas, the light of Christ, we see God. Secondly, God sees us. God sees us. What are you looking forward to in 2021? I'm looking forward to getting rid of these masks. Don't you hate them? Here I am preaching to you. I can see your eyes, but that's not enough. Your expressions, you're hidden. These things isolate us. They hinder relationship and communication. My mum made this mask. She sewed it. She sewed one for all of my family. I was quite excited to receive it to begin with. Now I can't wait to throw it away. They do have some advantages, though, masks. If you wake up in the morning with a huge spot on your nose, it's no problem. Hidden. Once in recent months, I had to leave the house quite early. I had to come to a gathering at church, and I didn't have time to clean my teeth after breakfast. And I thought, no problem. I've got a mask on. I can't breathe over anyone. Just once in the last few months. During lockdown, all sorts of things have been hidden behind masks and behind closed doors that no one else has seen. Whether that's the bathroom that you didn't bother to clean during the whole of the months of that early lockdown, or that the terrible trousers that you wore right through working from home that no one could see on a Zoom call. Or more seriously, as you look back over the last 9 months, the things you're glad that no one else has seen. The ways you've behaved with those that you've been cooped up with. The ways you've had to cope on your own. Your struggles. Your weaknesses that have been hidden behind masks and closed doors. God sees. God knows. His light reaches into every part of our lives, and yet he shines it not to condemn us, to catch us out, but to call us. In his light, we are exposed. And yet his light is not like the light of a spotlight of an interrogation room or a prison guard, but rather like the searchlight of a rescue vehicle, that the call is, come into the light. God sees us. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows us, and he calls us into his light. He came in the person of his Son, born into this world to live, to show us what God is like, to die on a cross, to show us how much God loves us, to make a way for us to approach the God who is light. Despite all that we'd rather remain hidden, despite the darkness within each one of us, God sees you. All that has gone on in the last 9 months. He sees you now, here, at home, every struggle, every tear you've shed, every temptation you've succumbed to, every dark day you've endured, everything no one else has seen. He sees. He knows. He cares. He calls you, come into the light. Later on in the service, we're going to have communion, where we remember the invitation to draw near to God. We give thanks for what it cost for that to be possible, the death of his son on the cross. And during communion, the band are going to sing a song with a striking title. If I didn't warn you of it, it would catch you out when you heard it. It's called "Come, All You Unfaithful." It's not the carol. "Come, All You Unfaithful." And it's a reminder that we don't have to scrub ourselves up to draw close to God. We don't have to clean up our act. We come as we are. He has made it possible through the death of his son on the cross. But the lyrics of the song say this: "Oh, come, all you unfaithful. Come, weak and unstable. Come, know that you are not alone. Christ was born. Christ was born. Christ was born for you." The God who we see at Christmas and in Christ, present with us, light in our darkness, sees us and knows us and calls us, come into the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's be quiet for a moment. I'm going to leave a pause for our own prayer and reflection to hear that call again to come into the light, and then the band will sing in just a minute, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Let's pause to pray. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.